Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Welcome to episode 58 of the 20 Minute Runner. Today is July 3rd, 2010, Saturday morning. It's about 6:25 in the morning. And let me get my gloves on. Yes, you heard me correctly. Let me get my gloves on. I don't believe I'm going to need to wear them the whole time I'm running, but I think to start with, they might feel pretty good. We have actually had a bit of a cool snap. Cool compared to what we've been dealing with, definitely. And it is 59 degrees this morning. 59 degrees, if you can believe that. It's really, really cool. But we had had temperatures in the 90s up until, I think, Wednesday of this week was the first day that it was not in the 90s in like 11 days. And we got up to 96 and 97 a couple of days, got up into 94 like that for, you know, a lot of those days. And then it began to wean back down, and as we got into midweek, temperatures began to drop. And as the temperatures began to drop in the daytime, so they began to drop at night. Two nights ago, I think we got down in the 50s, and last night we got down into the 50s again, and this morning it's cool, and I'll be honest, the gloves right now feel pretty good. We're just getting started on what I hope is a, Lord willing, a 9-mile run. This will be my long run for the week. We're working back up toward 13 for the half marathon, and eventually I will go for 10 or 15 in the maybe 3 weeks out from that. But it feels very good this morning. Very cool. Refreshing for this time of year. Morning. It doesn't feel like July at all. I can think of some Julys past where it seemed as if it was so hot you just couldn't bear it. I remember going to the Threshers reunion, which is where they have the hit and miss engines, old farm equipment, steam train ride. It's at the park out in the country toward Denton. We're going up the hill from my house to begin, and it always winds me a little bit till I can get warmed up. But we went to the park there for the Threshers reunion, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago. Looking forward to it because I enjoy that type of thing. But it was so hot. It's always July 4th. What would be the weekend considered July 4th weekend? And it's always so hot, so that year we went and we literally left. We didn't stay. We stayed a couple hours. Well, it's going on this weekend too, but we're not planning to go. But anyway, it's good to have you along. If you're new to the program, thanks for listening, downloading the show, tagging along. And you are the reason that we get up and do this, and you're the reason that I enjoy doing this. and it's just great to have you along. One of the best things you can do for me and for the program is to share it with other runners, other people that you know might be interested. Send them to the blog or forward the address to them. I would appreciate that very much. We're looking forward today to be back up into the upper 80s, 86, 87, which is still 10 degrees cooler than what it was 5 or 6 days ago. And let me tell you though, this morning at the moment, man, it feels good. There is a nip in the air, it's hard to believe. But I know it won't stay this way. Be it also realized in 8 weeks, we will be into cooler nights. By the time we roll around the 1st of September, the mornings will be getting cooler anyway. But this is very unusual. We're enjoying it. Hope your running's going well. I want to remind you that during the hot days of summer, it's easy to scale back and it's easy to not put in that run that you need to. But I want to remind you that you need to continue to do that, because in the fall, you'll reap tremendous benefits. I try to keep that perspective myself. Whenever it's hot and those mornings you get up and, you know, which we've had, where it's in mid to upper 70s and humidity's so thick you could cut it with a knife, I remind myself that come the fall, I'll be glad I did that. Same's true for you, particularly if you're gearing toward any kind of a fall race. So I would encourage you, don't let the summer get you down. If you want to know some things to do to try to beat the heat or stay cool, go back and listen to the last episode where I talked about some of those things. Very simple, but, and I think today we're going to talk about some of those issues as well relative to the heat, because it's so prevalent this time of year, even though we're in a relatively cool spell here. I know that it's not going to last. I've lost the strap that goes on my glasses. Cindy and I were out yesterday for a good part of the afternoon and got up this morning getting ready and realized that here I go on another run without the strap for my glasses. I don't know what happened to them, but they help hold them in place. My glasses are, I'll be honest, they're scratched. I wear, they are, what do you call it, progressive lens, and they have the stuff on them that makes them turn dark in the sunshine, and they also have the non-glare material. But in all honesty, whenever I have them on, I can see through the bottom. I like to read. But when I look through the top, particularly in certain circumstances, such as looking at lights at night or looking at television, there's this white glow around everything. And I kept trying to clean them. I mean, I took, you know, tissue and I took plain water. I've got a cloth that's designed just for cleaning optical lenses. And none of that seemed to help. And somebody said, well, you tried dishwashing liquid. I think we had some Ajax at the office and tried that. And I believe it helped a little bit. But now I've come to the realization that they're swirled with scratches. And my eye appointment, 2-year appointment, 2.5 year, whatever it is, it's not until the, I think it's the first week of August, so it's just over a month away. But it's one of those things that I consciously just, once I have them on, I'm not as conscious of it. Just let it go. So, anyway, glasses are working all right, and I'll deal with it. That's life. Listen, we're still practicing the chi running. And I encourage you to get in on that if you're not. I posted a link to video and their other videos where that one is, as well as an article on the blog last week. And I was reading yesterday that whenever you're going up a hill, you actually want to lean still and shorten your stride and pump your fists up and down, almost like you're hitting yourself in the chin, and just maintain your cadence, and then that will get you to the top. Let your upper body do the work. As I just came up the big hill, my arms are pumping, which I'm not used to doing that, and it does help. So we're still working with the chi running, working on the lean and midfoot strike, all those issues. And so far, so good. And if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to. But I was watching a video where people said that the guy had been running injury-free for 3 years after lots of injuries. And also discovered that basically you want a straight line with the top of your head, with your pelvis, and your ankles. You want to make a straight line and then lean from your ankles. And as you lean, gravity pulls and you begin to not fall recklessly, but you begin to fall. And it pulls you forward. And then, of course, you want to do the midfoot strike, and you want to let your arms swing up close to your ribs, but not crossing the middle line. Medial line, I guess is what it's called. In other words, you don't want your arms flinging wildly. And even going downhill, you still want to lean. And going uphill, as I just said, you want to lean. And I was reading where if you're going uphill, very steep incline, like the one at the mountains a few weeks ago, he actually suggested running sideways. Not totally sideways, but pointing your toes at 10 o'clock and taking a step and then doing like that. I'll try it right now. We're not on a steep hill, but it's interesting. And he said that the person, Danny, can't think of his last name, but the one whose information you'll find at the blog, he also said that after a few steps like that, point your toes to 2 o'clock and do the side step going up, pumping your arms, relaxing your legs. He said it moves, uses larger leg muscles than running straight up does. Those are for steep inclines. He said, well, it's a little awkward looking, you'd be amazed how well it works. And based on what I've experienced so far, I wouldn't doubt it. So we're running tall and leaning a bit, holding our arms up where they should be, not tightly, but holding them up. I think it said not at less than a 90-degree angle. So I don't want to let them hang low like I have been, but up a little. But not up when I first started running up near my armpits. That uses energy to do that. So we're practicing the arms, keeping, hopefully, our spine long and straight, and leaning from the ankles. And everything I've read and seen just says that if you'll, not that I'm perfected it, because I don't know that you ever will, but as your body adjusts to it, it becomes second nature. And the risk of injuries to knees and hips and things like that go down dramatically, because your core, you're working from that. There's also some philosophical, almost metaphysical type information found in Danny's book on chi running, which, you know, I'm not into that a whole lot, but it probably works. But it's letting the center of your body, your chi, work for you. And while I'm not there, I am still reading and trying to practice it. If I get injured, it's probably because I'm not doing it correctly. but I do know what I'm supposed to be doing. Oh, I was going to tell you that, changing subjects a minute, if I could, which I seem to do quite often, but we have wild blackberries, which I told you several episodes ago, growing around our backyard, and those wild blackberries, past year or two, it was so dry we didn't have any. This year, lots of rain and lots of berries. I mean, lots of berries. So we picked some and I ate them on my cereal 3 or 4 mornings. And now we've picked more. And I talked to my mother-in-law and she said she would help. And so yesterday I went and picked up some half-pint jars and sugar gel and some extra sugar. And we strained out the blackberries. I actually took a potato masher and I mashed them and she mashed them around and around. And we were able to get enough to make 8 half-pint jars. And they all sealed. Now you're supposed to take and put them in a canner. But she's told me a little trick about that, which I'll tell you in just a second. But basically you take the berries, and this will work for strawberries or anything. And you put them in a colander, or sieve actually. And you grind them. This is if you don't mind seeds in it. If you want seeds in it, if you don't want seeds in it, then what you'll need to do is to use cheesecloth, which we didn't have, so ours have some seeds, but I can deal with it. But anyway, once you extract the juice and or pulp by grinding it with that potato masher, get that out. At that point, you want to measure your juice out, and all the directions are in Sure Gel, which is the pectin that you use. Some people going camping this morning. But you take the pulp or juice, if you use cheesecloth, put it in a pot, boil it, so it comes to a rolling boil. Then you add your pre-measured sugar, bring it back to a rolling boil, which basically means where you stir it and it continues to boil. Put sugar in it, back to a rolling boil, as I said. Boil it for 1 minute. Pour it in your jars, and about 1/8 of an inch from the top, and seal it up. Now, the directions on the Sure Gel said that you were to take after you do that and put them in a can urn with the water and all that. But what Cindy's mom taught me, put the jars in the sink, boil some water, and just before you put the jam or jelly in it, you pour the boiling water over, just let the lids be in there and the jars right side up, and fill them with boiling water. You know, dump them out. And within the next minute or two, put your jam or jelly in it and seal them up. And they will seal. You know, there's a rubber gasket on top of that lid. It's got a seal and you can hear it pop. So we did that and I heard a couple of them pop before we left yesterday. And I checked last night and they've all sealed. So, needless to say, we now have 8 half pints of blackberry, wild blackberry jam. Which is pretty neat. I'm looking forward to trying some of that, and I'll let you know how it goes. And I discovered that, guess what, you use jalapeno peppers in hot pepper jelly, which we've eaten in the past. None I've made, but I'm looking forward to trying to make some of that as well. And the way the peppers are doing, I've got enough to give away that, and probably some of the jam or jelly as well at Christmas. Now, we'll probably get another round of blackberries, wild blackberries from behind the house, but this time we will use cheesecloth we picked up yesterday, squeeze out all of the seeds and just make jelly. In other words, we got jam right now, but we'll also plan to make some jelly. But I just love that. I don't know why. Growing up, my mother used to can a little bit. When I lived with her and my stepdad, when he passed away years and years ago, we always had a big garden, and I've discovered how much I still enjoy that. So, we'll let you know how the blackberry jam tastes. I'm really looking forward. forward to that. And peppers. I've already canned a big jar of jalapeno sliced and a jar of first time of banana peppers. And I've got banana peppers as long as my hand right now. So we'll be canning those throughout the summer as well. Nothing fancy, just some little things to enjoy. Tomatoes are coming in some and not doing as well as I'd like, but just really enjoy planting things. I think Cindy and I are going to try to plant a grapevine maybe this coming year. Go down beside the house where the sun is most all day and grow some grapes, muscadines, scopanines, and what we used to call black or white grapes where I come from. You make jelly and jam, grape hull pie, grape hull preserves, wine, although I probably won't be making any wine, but you could make it micro batch, jar at a time. But we may see if we can get the grapes going. Plus, they're just great to eat. They're the kind you pick that you don't eat the whole, unless you cook it in some type of recipe. So that's where things are going, but the wild blackberry jam, I'll let you know how that tastes. We'll see. Again, it's good to have you with me today. And we are presently 20 minutes into this run and feeling good. I'm probably going to ditch the gloves here in just a few minutes. While I'm not getting hot, my hands are warming up a little bit. And so we might be getting rid of them. I was going to tell you one more thing before the break here. Several weeks ago, Tigger, as you know, if you want to know history of Tigger, you have to go back and listen to previous episodes, but she was a neighborhood cat. Owner's been gone now 3 or 4 years. She ends up at our house eventually. We've taken her in, feed her, that type of thing. Anyway, we came back. This has been probably a month ago at least, maybe 5 weeks. And Cindy's parents were there and said that they had left to go get a bite of lunch. And when they come back, Tigger, something happened during that hour, hour and a half they were away. And Tigger couldn't even jump up on the seat or whatever. I think I might have told you some about that. Couldn't even jump up on the seat on the porch. And she was lethargic, moved around very skittishly, didn't want anybody to touch her. Well, she developed a couple of knots, one on either side, one on her lower rib cage and one on the upper. Swollen places, we didn't know what it was. Well, I'm happy to report that within a week, maybe, just over that, she got through whatever that was, and now she's back to normal. Cindy's mom started feeding her sardines out of a can, and now Tigger's gotten used to that. And every morning, or at least every evening most of the time, she'll eat about a third of a can of sardines plus all the dry she wants. And we give her treats and also put the flea and tick preventive drops on her between shoulder blades. But I just wanted to let you know that Tigger, for now, has bounced back and is as healthy as ever, running around and doing well. She's our stray cat, our orphan cat that just made her way into our heart. I didn't want it to be that way, but I'm a sucker for an animal without a home, but we're not bringing her in. I don't think. No, we're not bringing her in. Although the winter will be rough, probably. She survived many a winter. We'll provide a bed again. But I do want to let you know that Tigger's much, much better. And we're looking forward to her being with us for a good while longer, hopefully. All right, we're going to take a break. Put some music on. Let you hear something. I think we've been going now for about 25 minutes for the podcast. And I'm running for about 23 and a half. But you are listening to episode 58 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. 60 minutes into this run. I took the gloves off probably 15 minutes ago, and I'm feeling pretty good. Sun's coming up. Sun's just a little bit warm, but man, it still feels nice and cool, and it feels great. Be a perfect day for a marathon, for instance. But I did want to just pass on a couple of other thoughts quickly about the chi running, that method, which again, I'm still learning. I've got to get the book. But I remember reading that whenever you're running level, something, and I got to investigate this and don't take my word without looking into it yourself, but something about allowing your arms, your hands to go behind you, as it were. And I noticed a while ago, I just decided to make a conscious effort to, instead of holding my arms toward the front of my body, letting my shoulders go relaxed and my hands go down, start swaying at least behind, just behind the midline of my side, going up my, you know, outside of my ankle, my knee, my hip, up under my armpit, that imaginary line, letting my hands go back and touch that. And I notice that whenever you open your arms like that, your rib cage, the tendency is to lean forward. So maybe that's a part of it. And then as you go up a hill, bring your hands back up, like I'm doing right now. And he said, imagine their pistons in the book where I was reading at the bookstore. And until you get up to the top, you maintain your midfoot strike, which by the way is much quieter. And I find the warmer, more warmed up you get, the easier it is. And then also, if you can imagine what it would be like to be running barefoot, landing on your bare feet running, that's the feel you want for landing. In other words, you would not be landing on your heels, nor would you be running on your toes. Neither extreme is desirable, but it's in the midfoot. Your foot comes down and then basically goes back toward the heel a bit, and it's like a cantilever. Springs you back up. Takes a lot of the work out of your legs. I've discovered that if I feel I'm picking up my legs, pushing myself, I'm not doing it right. Because you literally are falling, allowing your body to follow that momentum. Your legs are simply under there holding you up. I've got a long way to go to learn everything there is about it and to perfect it. But I certainly, the concept is intriguing, and I think it's one that will probably work. I am having some pain, which I have been for a long time. My left knee, a little bit. Nothing that I can't run through so far. But it was bothering me before I ever started experimenting with the chi running. The right hip, once in a while, maybe every day or two, turn a certain way and I'll feel that little mild pop. But I'm telling you, this form of running so far has helped my hips to rest. And my knee, as I said, is bothering me a bit, but I think it's something that may improve as we work on perfecting this, because it does take the pressure off of certain areas of your legs. You're simply following through. You're not pounding and twisting. And again, I got a lot of work to do, but we're working on it. So if you aren't trying chi running, I would recommend that you begin to look into it, particularly if you've had injuries like I have. Both hips have been injured. Both knees. I had a horrible time with my knees training for the marathon, as you remember. This might be part of the answer to what I've been looking for, And all it is just proper running form, which I take me a long time to perfect it, if ever. But I'll continue to read and work on it. And as the guy on the video said, you just have to practice it. Practice it, practice it, practice it. And after a while it will become, like most other things, second nature. You won't consciously be thinking about it, but it'll become more easy. So I've been at it a couple weeks. We'll let you know how it goes. I did want to quickly share with you some thoughts about running in the heat, which we touched on in the past, but it being 4th of July tomorrow, and even though we're cooler here than we've been, we are in that hot time of year. Maybe you are as well. Happy 4th of July if you're here in the U.S., if you're listening in another country. Appreciate you listening just the same. But 4th of July is our Independence Day. So we do fireworks, cookouts, that type of thing. So if you're in the U.S. particularly, or from the U.S., or if you love the U.S., happy Independence Day. Miami Club's Best Tips for Summer Running by John Hank. And this was published a good while back, and I'll put a link to it on the blog. But in Miami, this running club that gets together to run includes about 80 runners. They're given the following list of tips by Steve Bruckner, president of the club, 49-year-old runner, triathlete, and coach. He's been living and training in South Florida since 1979. They have a lot of 80-80 days in South Florida. 80-degree weather, 80% humidity. And mostly from April through October, it's quite uncomfortable. But these are some of the things that he recommends in hot weather. Train at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not getting up at 5, but I do get up at 5:30 or so, and do find that morning is much better than the evening. The world's so full of promise when it's viewed at sunrise. But equally important, I think it's a little cooler. Put in your miles before the sun is high. Cross train indoors. Build your cardio base while taking a break from the heat and humidity by doing some cross training. Indoor bike or a spin class. Something to get your cardio in without having to get in that horrible, horrible weather as far as dangerously hot weather. Do your speed work on a treadmill. Intensity of exercise is a major factor when we're having problems with the heat. The harder you run, the higher your risk. Plus, when you try to run fast in extreme heat, he points out, your perceived effort almost always exceeds your actual effort. To make your intervals safer, more productive, stay in and run as fast as you like in air-conditioned comfort. And so that's probably that's significant, I think, if you're going to be getting too hot. Oh, me. To start the Qi method, we begin to lean forward. And as we fall, we begin running. Here we go. So do some of your interval work inside. Another important point, ease into the heat. Do a slow 2 to 3 mile walk or very easy run at the hottest part of the day a few times, up to 4 weeks to get acclimated. It makes the morning run feel cool, he says. And I know from experience, maybe you do too, that it takes 2 to 3 weeks to get accustomed to the heat. And even then, depending on the humidity and the how hot the temperature is, you could be having some issues. So you do want to give yourself time to ease up into it. And if you're not accustomed to it, keep your runs short, keep them less intensive until you build up some tolerance to that. Have a hydration plan before you start. Know where your water stops are. either by planning your runs in areas that have places you can get water, or by stashing water bottles along the road ahead of time. Get in touch with a local running club and maybe run with them, or find out routes they recommend that would include water, perhaps even where they've placed some jugs for the club or whatever. You could do that. Like for me, I know that I just took water. That's the second time I've taken water. We've been running an hour and 50 seconds. Generally speaking, that works for me. Occasionally I'll get in a place where I don't have any, and I'll either run or not run, depending on the temperature, where I may slow it down a bit. But make sure you have that planned out before you start. And then don't just drink the water, is another thing. Water's great, but like I took a gel at 45 minutes and drank water 10 minutes later. That seems to work for me. Took a Honey Stinger Gold, no caffeine this morning. But you need the electrolytes, particularly sodium, potassium, as well as some carb replacement. And I would say if you're going to run an hour, I didn't take any type of gel or jelly beans if I ran for an hour. But now if I go an hour, I'll do that. 55 minutes, probably not. But you have to learn yourself what you can do. But anyway, you need to be sure and do that. And then plan to race in cool temperatures. For him, Bruckner, registering for a fall marathon, quote, up north, end quote, such as Marine Corps, New York, basically guarantees relief from the heat. And the cooler race temperature is like a key unlocking those shackles that have bound you up through the summer, that horrendous heat and humidity. When I show up in New York for the marathon in November, and it's in the 70s, the New Yorkers are all like, ugh, and I'm saying, bring it on. That's a quote from him. So those are things you can do to try to protect yourself in the heat. And I'm certainly trying to protect myself. All right, we are feeling pretty good. Been running almost 6.5 miles. I think I'll let you go right now and come back in just a minute. Just a second, literally. Give an update on how this run went. Stay cool. I wanted to bring you in on the end of this run. So practicing our chi up and down the hills, going up, pumping your arms like pistons as if you're going to hit yourself in the chin. Maintain a short stride. Land on the mid sole of your feet if you can. And then coming down a hill, you're going to let your legs do the work. Land a little more toward the back of your heel, but not on your heel. And just roll with it. Bring your arms back. Keep your back spine straight. Slightly lean, even going down. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference. It's like your legs aren't working. They're just following along. And I'm really starting to get the idea. So we're going to stop here. Just a second. Going up a slight incline. Leaning. My nose is wanting to run. Just following through. Landing on my midfoot. Quite comfortable. We're going to stop here in just a second. Rounding a final turn. Okay. Whew. I will edit out any snot rockets that I may have. We finished strong. My left knee got where it wasn't bothering me so much. And I finished in the shade into the cul-de-sac up from my house, not the one my house is in. And right now, I'm not really experiencing any aches. I think improving form is so critical. And I know I'm beating my horse here, but I'm beginning to realize maybe that's been a big portion of my problem. And while I don't have it down yet, I will continue to watch video and read about it and see what I can do to improve it as time goes by. But it does feel very easy to do, as I've been doing it now for a couple weeks. One thing it's stressed about it is you want your body to be relaxed. And again, it's a weird feeling, but if you feel like you're pumping with your legs or you're pushing off with your legs, you're not doing it correctly, because your legs are going to follow through, almost flipping behind you from the ankles, are not going to be pushing you. You're going to be depending on the center of your gravity pulling you forward. I think that's what the chi is all about. And so if you're feeling yourself really working hard with your legs, you're not leaning enough, you need to straighten your spine perhaps, and your chin needs to be tucked in a bit, relaxed, but not looking straight ahead with your head up, but your chin down a bit, because as you're leaning, that's the position obviously you should be in. So if that's not the case, again, you need to go back and look at your form one more time. Okay, let me tell you what we did today. We ran 9.2 once, and average speed was 6.3, max speed 11.4, average pace 9.25, best pace 7.10. So 9.25 for 9 miles is not bad. We ran 1 hour, 26 minutes, and 48 seconds. So I think next week we may hold it at 9 for the long run and go to 10 after that, and then begin working our way up to probably 12 until closer to half marathon time. But anyway, it's been great having you along today. And again, I hope your running's going well. Send me your feedback. Go to the website, blog I should say, which is the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. From there you can see a link to the email. Email me pictures, email me race reports, email me MP3s of race reports or just things you want to talk about or comments on the show. Send me an email, let me know you listen, and I will include all of that in the upcoming episode of the show. If you send me pictures, I'll post those at the blog as well. And you can go to the blog and see information about all that. But today's going to be a beautiful day. I think Cindy and I are going to, got just a few little plants we're going to plant in a rose bush we bought for Father's Day, I think, for her dad. We're going to plant it. She bought a banana plant, which is supposed to get 8 feet tall and have mini bananas. Now, I seriously doubt that'll be the case, but we're going to see about getting that planted. But listen, if you have any information about chi running, since I'm just getting into this, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email or whatever, as I just mentioned, or send me some information by audio or even a video clip, and I will post that at the blog, or we will include it in an upcoming episode. So chi running is where it's at right now for me, and as I work on this more and more, I can tell you, I'm beginning to like it more and more. So, but have a great week, everybody. Have a tremendous July the 4th. If you, by the time you hear this, it will be past. Hope you had a good one. And we will talk to you again in 7, 8, 9 days, something like that. Thanks for listening again. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye. That wraps up another episode. I'm glad to have you with me. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20runner.blogspot.com. From the blog, you can send me an email. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader. Take the monthly survey, or simply look at photographs of recent races and peruse the past episodes of the podcast, including being able to listen to those episodes if you'd like. Remember, all of the music used in this episode can be found at the blog. All music is used under Creative Commons license. It's been great having you with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 7 or 8 days. Until then, I hope your running's going well, and as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.